And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
A pool of water located close to the Dead Sea in the biblical region of Moab, modern-day Jordan, has mysteriously turned blood red. Water from the Red Lagoon just inside the Jordanian border is being sampled by workers from Jordan's Ministry of Water and Irrigation to determine the cause of the unsettling phenomenon, which is yet unexplained. The images have sparked a furore on social media, with blood-red waters carrying much significance in the Old Testament as one of the 10 plagues God cast upon the Pharaoh of Egypt to free the Jews from slavery. According to the biblical tale, God turned the waters of the River Nile into blood, which killed the fish and prevented the Egyptians from drinking the foul water in the first of 10 plagues that came as the Pharaoh's punishment for refusing to free his Jewish slaves. The eastern shores of the Dead Sea, where the blood-red pond is located, also happens to be where the two legendary cities of Sodom and Gomorrah stood before they were supposedly destroyed by God for their wickedness. The head of the Water and Agricultural Committee of the Al-Karak Council, Fatih Al-Hawamil, said the authorities have been contacted to work on identifying the source of the water. But although the cause of the mysterious crimson waters remains unknown for now, according to Jordan's ministry spokesman Omar Salama, a few theories have been posited as to why a lagoon isolated from fresh water could suddenly change colour. Director of Agriculture in the southern Jordan Valley, Yassin Al-Kasaber, told Roya News that this phenomenon is found in ponds close to seas due to the presence of a certain type of bacteria and red algae that loves salinity, which changes its colour with the presence of sunlight. But this does not explain why the water suddenly turned red, while other pools have not displayed the same phenomenon, particularly given that the region experiences near year-round sunny skies. Other officials told Israel Today that the presence of iron oxide in the water could account for the strange colour change, but again did not give an explanation as to how the iron oxide would have been introduced to the pool and why the colour change happened so rapidly. Meanwhile, the head of the Jordanian Geologist Syndicate told the Al Gard News that the red colour could have been caused by the addition of substances by humans. This viewpoint was shared by many Jordanians who accused the government of covering up a source of pollution or the use of the pool as a dumping ground for waste chemicals. The Dead Sea is a salt lake located in the Judean desert of southern Israel, bordered by Jordan to the east. With its origin dating back to some 4 million years ago, it is one of the Earth's saltiest bodies of water and is the lowest point on Earth. Its high level of salinity, well over 30%, means its waters are incredibly rich in minerals, and the health benefits of bathing in the Dead Sea have long since been touted, though it is so salty that the water cannot support marine life. It has been found that people with respiratory diseases such as cystic fibrosis have appeared to benefit from increased atmospheric pressure in the region, while the temperature, humidity, and water's minerals make it a perfect environment to treat skin problems. It has also been suggested that Dead Sea mud pack therapy relieves pain in patients with osteoarthritis of the knees. However, the Dead Sea has shrunk dramatically in recent years, most likely due to climate change. It is now roughly 31 miles long and 9 miles wide at its widest point, but it is estimated that the Dead Sea's water level has dropped by more than 131 foot since the 1950s and is now reducing by around 2 foot per year. Last year, the Alexandra River ran blood red due to blood from slaughterhouses in the West Bank flowing into the river, according to the Society for the Protection of Nature in Israel. The Dead Sea carries considerable biblical and religious significance. During the biblical period, different sects of Jews used to live in caves near the Dead Sea, most notably the Essenes, who are thought to have left the impressive Dead Sea Scrolls in the caves of Qumran. The scrolls are a collection of more than 25,000 ancient manuscript fragments, among which can be found the oldest known copies of books of the Hebrew Bible. Sodom and Gomorrah, the famous cities mentioned in the book of Genesis, are believed to have been on the Dead Sea's southeastern shore, while En Gedi, now a nature reserve near the Dead Sea, is mentioned in the Bible as the place where King David, the man who famously killed Goliath, hid from Saul. Meanwhile, in the modern era, scientists from Israel and Germany discovered in 2011 that the floor of the Dead Sea contains fissures which allow fresh water to bubble up from below the seabed. Despite the water's salinity making the environment inhospitable to marine life, many species of bacteria and archaea live on the sea floor and feed off the minerals that rise up through the fissures, while the seas and area's atmospheric pressure, warmth and mineral-rich water make it a go-to destination with mythical healing qualities. Afghanistan's Taliban rulers have contradicted public promises on rights, including ordering women to stay at home, blocking teenage girls from school, and holding house-to-house searches for former foes, a United Nations official said this week. High Commissioner for Human Rights Michelle Bachelet said Afghanistan was in a new and perilous phase since the militant Islamist group seized power last month, with many women and members of ethnic and religious communities deeply worried. In contradiction to assurances that the Taliban would uphold women's rights, over the past 3 weeks, women have instead been progressively excluded from the public sphere, she told the Human Rights Council in Geneva. Bachelet expressed dismay at the composition of the Taliban government, noting the absence of women and its dominance by ethnic Pashtun. In some places, girls over 12 were barred from school, while women were told to stay at home, she said, in throwbacks to the Taliban's oppressive rule between 1996 to 2001, prior to a US-led invasion that toppled them. Bachelet pointed to other broken pledges on granting amnesty to former civil servants and security officers linked to the previous government and prohibiting house-to-house searches. The United Nations has received multiple allegations of searches for those who work with US companies and security forces, while some UN staff have reported increasing attacks and threats, she said. Credible allegations of reprisal killings of some former Afghan military members have also been received. Bachelet called for a mechanism to monitor rights in Afghanistan. I reiterate my appeal to this council to take bold and vigorous action, commensurate with the gravity of this crisis, she said. Resplendent in their striped knickerbockers and clutching murderous-looking halberds, they have faithfully defended popes for more than 500 years. But the Swiss Guard, the world's smallest army with just 140 soldiers, is considering the previously unthinkable, opening up to female soldiers. A bastion of conservatism even by the standards of the Vatican, the Swiss Guard has been a celebrated institution ever since its foundation in 1506. New recruits to the ancient corps must be single, practicing Catholics of Swiss nationality aged between 19 and 30. They must serve for a minimum of 2 years, protecting the Pope and standing ramrod straight in sentry boxes outside St. Peter's Basilica. Now comes a potential revolution. The tiny corps has announced that it is having a new barracks built within the walls of the Vatican and that it will be designed to accommodate female soldiers. Currently, the existing barracks are so cramped that some members of the miniature army have to live outside the sovereign city-state. Within the barracks, two or even three guardsmen have to share a room. The new barracks, which will cost 50 million Swiss francs, 39 million euros, will allow the entire corps to live inside the Vatican and will feature individual rooms with bathrooms. It means that in future, if the decision is taken, we will be able to accommodate women as well, Lieutenant Urs Breitenmoser, a spokesman for the Swiss Guard, told The Telegraph. That decision has not been taken yet, and it lies with our superiors and ultimately Pope Francis. Regulations would have to be changed. A future move to recruit women soldiers would chime with the Pope's insistence that women play a greater role in the life of the Catholic Church, the lieutenant said. Adapting the guardsmen's helmets and breastplates to female soldiers should not be too challenging. These days they are not made of beaten metal, but plastic produced by 3D printers. The plastic helmets and armour are much lighter than their old metal counterparts, which were particularly onerous to wear during Rome's hot summers. From the beginning, it was important to us that the new building provide space for women, Jean-Pierre Roth from the Swiss Guard Foundation, which supports the Corps financially, told a Swiss newspaper. The Ruth Metzler Arnold, the president of the foundation, said, "I very much welcome the discussion on the question of allowing women to join the Guard. As soon as female guards are allowed, recruitment potential will increase. The force needs around 30 to 35 new recruits each year to maintain its numbers. The aim is to inaugurate the new barracks on March 6, 2027, the 500th anniversary of the sack of Rome in 1527, when 147 Swiss guards laid down their lives in defence of Pope Clement VII. Their sacrifice bought enough time for the Pope to escape the forces of the Holy Roman Empire and flee down a tunnel that led to the fortress of Castle San Angelo, both of which still exist. Since then, the Swiss Guards, inheritors to the Swiss tradition of providing mercenaries to the rulers of Europe, have served more than 40 different popes. What connects the modern Swiss Guard to his 16th century predecessors is his firm conviction that he serves Christ's Church and his vicar on earth, the successor of St. Peter, that he will sacrifice his own life if necessary to protect the Pope, the commandant of the corps, Christoph Graf, says on the Swiss Guard's official website. The corps works alongside the city-state's equally small police force, the Vatican Gendarmerie. The Swiss Guard was hit by a scandal in 1988 when its commandant, Alois Estermann, was murdered alongside his wife by a disgruntled guardsman who then committed suicide. There have long been long-standing accusations of a cover-up by the Vatican, with numerous conspiracy theories put forward for a possible motive for the murders. Archaeologists working on HS2 have found the remains of an Anglo-Saxon church in Buckinghamshire. The discovery, which experts describe as fantastic, was made during excavations at the site of Old St. Mary's Church in Stoke Mandeville. The team found flint walls forming a square structure underneath the remains of the Norman church, which themselves date to 1080. The site is being investigated by a team of more than 40 archaeologists from LP Archaeology and Fusion JV, HS2's contractor. Dr. Rachel Wood, the lead archaeologist for Fusion JV, said, "This is a fantastic discovery that we are all excited to excavate. The work undertaken at Old St. Mary's is a unique archaeological opportunity to excavate a medieval parish church with over 900 years of meaning to the local community. A significant amount of the Anglo-Saxon building remains in place, including the walls and some flooring, which would provide a great deal of information about the site," Wood said. The old Norman church, which was built shortly after the conquest, fell into disrepair after a new church was built closer to the centre of Stoke Mandeville in the 1880s. The rubble has since become overgrown with vegetation. Archaeologists also found Roman roof tiles in the foundations of the Anglo-Saxon church. They believe that materials from a nearby Roman settlement could have been reused in its construction. Helen Wass, head of the heritage for HS2, said that the findings have helped experts to understand more about the history of the area. "The discovery of a pre-Norman church in Stoke Mandeville allows us to build a clearer picture of what the landscape of Buckinghamshire would have been like over 1,000 years ago," she said. Findings from the excavation are being shared in a series of open weekends at a field museum at the site of the old St. Mary's Church. HS2 plans to link London, Birmingham, Manchester and Leeds, creating a Y-shaped network. The first phase between London and Birmingham was given permission to go ahead in spring of last year. The line has been criticised for escalating costs, with an estimated final bill of £106 billion, as well as its environmental impact. In June, Mark Thurston, chief executive of HS2 Limited, told MPs that violent and disruptive protests had led to 300 arrests, 9 prosecutions, and a £75 million bill for the taxpayer. However, the need to dig 140 miles of cuttings for the London to Birmingham route has also turned HS2 into a massive archaeological dig. Alongside Old St. Mary's, other sites of interest include the location of the 1469 Battle of Edgecote Moor during the War of the Roses, 6 miles northeast of Banbury in Oxfordshire. In 2019, Wass said, "Whether you are interested in prehistoric times, the Roman occupation, or human remains, we've got something for everyone." And finally, After a wedding, the little ring bearer asked his father, "How many brides can the groom marry?" "One," his father said. "Why do you ask?" "Because Pastor Jamie said he could marry 16," the boy said, puzzled. "How did you come up with that?" his father asks. "Easy," the little boy said. "All you have to do is add it up like Pastor Jamie said. 4 better, 4 worse, 4 richer, 4 poorer."
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.